It is time for the one, the only, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Mangoes, papaya, chestnuts from the fire. In my house of straw, I have so much more.
I want you to know, Arthur, I received so many comments from people this week about your show last week with the girl in the background. People
with your
it.
Niece?
With your niece. People love it.
With my niece in the background. You know, it's interesting because when I used to broadcast from Cornwall on Sundays, that was a national program I had, very often my niece, who lives in St. Louis, and my nephew, whose children those are, would be in the background, and those were always the most popular shows.
Because it's people, real.
Because children are delightful most of the time.
And even if they aren't in any normal like situation, there is background noise. Hello, life.
Yeah, let me say that the little one, the two-year-old, is obsessed with phones. And she has basically she'll pick up anything that's rectangular and vaguely looks like a phone and put it up to her ear and start talking. But if I pull out my phone, she goes crazy. I mean, I can't not let her say hello or yell or grab the phone when I'm finished. Only the last day of my week there did she get it. And she was terrific once she got it. Anyway. So I'm 71 years old.
Happy 2 days after your birthday.
2 days after my birthday. One reason I was at my nephew and niece's house in Philly. It makes you reflective. I think birthdays in general make you reflective. And I went into this is the beginning of my series of reflections. I run into my bagel bakery on the way home from Philly yesterday because Cecilia was here from Italy, and she always wants to have bagels and cream cheese before she leaves. So I got some freshly baked bagels at my favorite, actually the only place I will eat bagels from these days. It's called the Bagel Hole. It's on 7th Avenue in Brooklyn and Park Slope. And 7th Avenue, and not at the end with all the activity, which is the end I live in, which is referred to usually as North Slope. It's down by 12th Street. Across, I have to add, from the Ansonia Watch Factory, which was turned into a cooperative apartment building at least 25, 30 years ago, but the Ansonia Watch Factory was the largest in America, the largest watch factory in America, right here in Brooklyn. It still looks like a factory kind of building, except that what you don't see is there's an inner courtyard that's like a park. It's not like a park; it is a park. Anyway, I go into the Bagel Hole, and on a Sunday afternoon, this is around 12:30. I didn't really expect to see the bagel baker himself, Phil Romano, but I did, and we're old friends. When I moved into Park Slope 20 years ago already, or just about, I was told about this bagel bakery by somebody I knew in the neighborhood, and he swore me to secrecy. He said, you cannot talk about this on the radio, you cannot write about this place, because we don't want to ruin it. I'm ready to ruin it, because as Phil, this is a true, true artisanal product. Phil makes nearly every bagel that you buy. Yes, he has an assistant, but Phil is there all the time. And he makes bagels the way they used to be, which is why I like them as a 71-year-old maven. And maven is a Yiddish word. It's become so American that people forget it's a Yiddish word. And so Phil's there on a Sunday afternoon baking bagels. You can't get more hands-on than that. He should be home with his family, although, you know, I think of him as having young boys because I know him now for 20 years, but his older son is 23 and his younger son is 18. So I guess he wasn't even born when I first met Phil. And Phil Romano, Italian-American from Brooklyn, baking old-fashioned Brooklyn bagels at the Bagel Hole, is having a lot of trouble with business. Our neighborhood has changed, certainly in the 20 years I'm here, and I don't know, you know, I keep saying too many rich people, but I think rich people like great bagels too, so I'm not sure. He says, oh, one thing, there's not as much street traffic as there used to be. Anyway, there's now a new cafe on one side, and I think young people want to go to a cafe where they get Wi-Fi. The Bagel Hole is an old-fashioned bagel bakery. They sell nothing but bagels, and in a refrigerated case, cream cheese and milk and some other products that you might want to have with your bagel. In the refrigerated case in front of you when you walk in, there's a case full of various kinds of cream cheese and other spreads to put on a bagel. I have to add here, I remember the day when nobody ate a sandwich on a bagel. Bagels are really, to me, not appropriate for sandwiches. There's too much bread there. And especially an old-fashioned bagel like Phil's, which are really crusty on the outside and quite dense inside. My measure here is how fresh do they stay? If you have a bagel that is fresh the day after it's baked, it's not a good bagel. Bagels, in the old days, we ate freshly baked only. And in fact, I still go into Phil. I mean, I know he bakes several times a day, so they're always fresh, not just in the morning. But, I mean, he was baking at 12:30 on a Sunday for that afternoon, to have fresh bagels, for the hot bagels for the afternoon. And I always say, what's warm? You know, what's still hot, what's warm? And I actually may want that kind of bagel just because it's hot. But anyway, so bagels are good for a few, old-fashioned bagels are good for a few hours. And then you need to, I call it, refresh them by putting them into a hot oven for a few minutes. Sometimes if I have a frozen bagel, and I do freeze them, of course you've lost something in the process, but if I have a frozen bagel, I'll put it in the oven and then turn on the oven. And in my oven, by the time it gets to 350 degrees, it's totally thawed, and then I leave it in for another couple of minutes so that it gets warm into the center, and that usually will do it, so it's an easy process. Anyway, you know, bagels used to be sold only in stores like this. They may not have even had the special cream cheeses. And by the way, Phil whips up his own cream cheese. I don't know what his cream cheese base is, but it's certainly better, something better than Philadelphia.
No.
And I buy the vegetable cream cheese, which has chopped carrot and bell
pepper.
Only
ever, if there's any adulterated cream cheese that passes the purification rundown, it's only scallion. Only scallion.
Well, and he makes great scallion cream cheese. I like vegetable cream cheese, too. And it has some scallions in it. But yes, he makes scallion cream cheese. I don't even look at, there are several others. I don't even look at them. There's probably even a non-dairy tofu-y cream cheese thing. Anyway, and he also got tuna fish. And I don't even look at the other items, so I'm not sure what they are. But because I only buy the vegetable cream cheese and the scallion cream cheese, it's vastly superior, more creamy, fresh tasting than anything you buy at a supermarket. Except Fairway, which sells a Moishe's cream cheese.
True that.
And, pardon me?
I said true that. Fairway has good cream cheese. And how have you found the Barney Green? Used to be a lot of places, Upper West Side.
I know, but I haven't, you know.
Yeah, you haven't been.
I don't go there. If I actually, I buy Bagel Hole bagels. And I buy my appetizing, I'm glad we got to this word, appetizing, at Fairway, where they have really superior smoked salmon, several kinds, even lox, which is different than smoked salmon. Lox is only salt-cured salmon, and it didn't exist in the old country, but meaning Eastern Europe or even Germany. They don't have salmon there. Now, of course, they do. But we get our salmon, we got our salmon from the West Coast, where the waters were teeming with salmon. And when the Transcontinental Railroad was finished, it was easy to ship salted salmon to the east. It stopped on the way in Missouri and places like that because they also liked it. But once it got to New York, it was devoured because Eastern European Jews who were coming into America, the Transcontinental Railroad, I think, was finished in 1868, if I'm correct. So let's say by the 1880s, when Eastern European Jews were coming in, 1890s, and then into the 1910s, it became almost like a convenience food for Jews who followed the dietary laws or were just out of following them, meaning they were just recently assimilated. Because if you were kosher and you were busy working and striving, it was very difficult to, and in the old tenements of the Lower East Side where the kitchens were, I've been in them, they were really minimal, it was difficult to make meals. So lox, which was salt-cured salmon, you just got out of the barrel and ate it. And it was delicious, too. And you could eat it, you know, in many different ways. So that's lox. Smoked salmon and other items that that now we think of as going with bagels, not originally, are sold in a store called an appetizing store. This is a word that is almost disappeared. And by the way, the products themselves are called appetizing, and the store is called an appetizing store, and it's the opposite of a delicatessen. So now when I read people talking about cream cheese and salmon, lox, bagels in a delicatessen, I cringe, because a delicatessen, technically, in the old days, I can say that now, served only meat and meat products, and the side dishes that went with those meats and meat products. The delicatessen, as you can tell by the word, a German word, was originally a German concept and brought to the New World in the, you know, to New York and other places in the 1840s and 50s when the Germans, including German Jews, were emigrating. The German Jews had their own versions, their own kosher versions of the pork products that their German neighbors had, and they sold things like corned beef and frankfurters, which of course are German, and other kinds of sausage and salami, but all made with beef, kosher. So that was what the delicatessen was until the Eastern Europeans arrived at the end of the century, and they introduced some of their Eastern European foods, including pastrami. Pastrami didn't exist until in New York until the late 1880s. We can actually put a date on it, according to Patricia Volk, who says her great-grandfather introduced it to New York. It was 1888, and some Romanian came by with this product, and he said, "Okay, I'll try it in my store," and that's where pastrami started. So anyway, all those meat products are sold in a delicatessen, and at the appetizing store, you got dairy products and smoked and pickled fish and the things that go with those. For instance, I don't know how this happened, but dried fruits were always sold in an appetizing store, not in a delicatessen. Special, you know, nice dried plums and apricots. Dried plums, of course, are prunes. Nuts. Halva was a big item in the appetizing store. Halva is a Middle Eastern candy.
Too
let's
sweet.
Call it a candy, made out of sesame paste and sugar and egg whites. And it somehow, I never got to the bottom of this, it somehow made its way to Poland, where in fact bialys, which are the bread of Bialystok,
as fact, in Max,
and my paternal maternal great grandmother was born in Bialystok. And yeah.
Way back from using, you know, it used to be bagels. Do you want a bagel or Bialy? So you should probably...
Well, Bialys, you know, are rare these days.
I understand.
I truthfully, I don't even know how to recommend a Bialy. I do know that my cousin Ellen, who lives down the street and knows about Bialys, has a Bialy every morning for breakfast. I have to ask her, where are you buying your Bialys? But there's a place called Kosar's on the Lower East Side that is famous for Bialys, used to be even more famous, I think. I'm not sure what the quality is like anymore. But I can guarantee you, if you come to Brooklyn and go to the Bagel Hole, you can buy a few dozen and take them home. They do freeze well. I mean, well enough. It's a thawed-out Bagel Hole bagel is still vastly superior to almost any other bagel you can get. Everyone made by hand by Phil Romano. So I think it's a destination place. And now I see on Yelp that it gets complaints that there are no tables and chairs. I mean, but they don't get it.
No,
it's a bakery. It's not a cafe.
You pick it up and you take it someplace.
Yeah, they sell coffee to go. And very often, I most often go in the morning, and very often when I go in the morning, there's a line out the door of local people on their way to work or just in the neighborhood ordering a bagel with cream cheese of one kind or another, or butter, lots of ways, and a coffee. And that's a real New York breakfast. But let me just add that bagels were not always the receptacle for cream cheese and lox. This did not actually happen until the 1930s. I have actually interviewed people much older than I am, and as I said, I'm 71 now. I mean, people in their 90s to 100, and asked them about this. And no one remembers getting bagels with their appetizing until the 1930s, when Al Jolson was starring on a radio show sponsored by Kraft. And Kraft had only recently bought Philadelphia cream cheese, the brand, and wanted to promote it. In those days, and even, by the way, in my day on WOR, commercials were often incorporated into the programming, so you sort of couldn't tell the difference. By the way, Curtis Sliwa is an expert at doing this. If you ever want to listen to that kind of radio again, Curtis is on WABC here in New York. Anyway, Mr. Kraft said to Al Jolson, I want you to incorporate the new product into as many jokes and whatever dialogue as you can to promote Kraft Philadelphia cream cheese. So Jolson wrote a song called Bagels and Yaks, Y-O-X, because that's the way some old Yids would have pronounced it. And he combined the bagels with the lox and the cream cheese. Until then, the bread sold in an appetizing store was what we call cornbread, which is a sour rye bread, and black bread, pumpernickel. So... and real pumpernickel, not rye bread tinged with cocoa powder or whatever they use, some coloring agent. These days, unless you go to a Russian store, you're not going to get good pumpernickel.
All right, so
the appetizing store was totally apart from a delicatessen. Even if you weren't kosher, even if you were a secular Jew who didn't strictly follow the kashrus, you went to two different stores for these products. They didn't overlap. Now, you know, they sell shrimp salad in the same place that they sell pastrami. It gets on my nerves.
All right, so listen, quickly, just for people who don't know the difference between a bagel and a bialy, back it up.
Really? There are people who don't know the difference?
Yep.
There's people that don't know what the hell a bagel is nowadays, unfortunately.
Well, they may not know what a proper bagel is, a really delicious bagel. They just know those puffy donuts. Yeah. American, you know, what ruined the bagel was mechanization. And there is, in fact, I think it's called, if I remember correctly, the Thompson Bagel Machine, that was enabled Lender's Bagels to exist. Remember Lender's Bagels? They were the first supermarket frozen bagel. And, of course, now there are very few bagel bakeries that hand roll their bagels, bake them with the proper proportions of high gluten, folks, high gluten flour, a little bit of malt and yeast. Malt will sweeten the bagel, but it's not there for the sweetness alone. It's there really for the yeast to eat, but it gives a little sweetness. And there's a famous bagel bakery in Manhattan called H&H Bagels. I don't know how it became so famous and revered, but in fact, to me, it's way over malted, and it tastes like almost like donuts. It's so sweet. It's bread, folks. Bagels are bread. A bialy is different, totally different dough. It's round, but it doesn't have a hole in it. It has an indentation in the middle, so that it's like a puffy edge, like a Neapolitan pizza. And in the middle, it's flatter, and onions and poppy seed often are put in the middle in the indentation, and then they're baked, so it's sort of like a toasted, delicious, I love the onion part, you know. In the old days, you were able to say, I'll take that one, you point to the different bialys you wanted, so you got the ones with the most onions. And there's another, there's a large size, like platter-sized bialy, which we often referred to as onion board, because it had a really large indentation in the middle, like very much like a Neapolitan pizza, and there would be lots of onions in there. So I love onion board, good onion board. I have to go maybe. You know, actually, we have a new market in Brooklyn called Union Market, thus called because it opened on the corner of 6th Avenue and Union Street. And now there's one actually several doors down, or maybe it's not even several, from the Bagel Hole on 7th Avenue and 12th Street, there's another Union Market. There's a third one in Cobble Hill, and the fourth one is about to open right around the corner from me. We're waiting. It's taking forever to build out this place. But it's at the Union Market, I do think they have onion board. It's flipping in my brain, scanning in my brain the bread selection at Union Market, which is quite nice. And by the way, everybody thinks it's a fancy, well, it is a fancy grocery store supermarket. It only has very special products. But given that, the prices for those special products are less than you might find in other stores where they have those special products, if they even have them. For instance, they have my most favorite pasta brand called Faella, F-A-E-L-L-A. It's $8 a pound. Fortunately, I have lots of Italian friends who come from nearby Faella, which is in Gragnano, and they bring it to me. But $8 is actually less than you would get it a mail order, and you can get a mail order too. So I do like Union Market, and I think they have onion board. So that's the difference. Bialy is a lighter dough. It's not dense the way a bagel is. It's not boiled first. Bagels are boiled after they rise on a wooden tray. They're slipped into boiling water, which provides the shine. Bagel should be shiny, and also helps make the crust. After the boiling, they then go into the oven, and they should get nice and crusty, and they shouldn't be an enormous amount of dough in ratio to crust, which is another reason Bagel Hole bagels are superior. They're just the right proportion. Truthfully, old bagels used to be even smaller than Bagel Holes are, which are not small, but they're not like those big puffy things you buy all over the place or on the coffee carts. They are smaller. And I did know a bagel baker in my old neighborhood in Marine Park. He only closed maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and he used to make a smaller bagel. He said, you know, nobody got it anymore. They would come in here and look at my bagels and say, oh, they're puny bagels. But so after being adamant that he was not going to give in to modernity, this bagel baker went out of business. But Phil is still there, working very, very hard. And by the way, the other night, just going, you know, what do you call them when you're surfing my channels on the TV, I happened over a misleading and incorrect segment on some food show about bagels. There was much misinformation in that. But all the shots of a bagel baker were Phil in his bakery making bagels the old-fashioned way. Whenever they got to that old-fashioned way, they would flip to Phil. But they never credited him. I was incensed. Why couldn't they have just flashed on the screen?
Yeah.
Bagel Hole, 7th Avenue, Park Slope.
Well, when people see this on our podcast site, I've got their logo, I've got their link, I've got the story about them right up so people can
great.
So it's over
because,
for,
you know,
about that,
if you Google best bagels in New York, Phil is on every one of those lists. He may even, you know, I think on Sirius Eats he's number 1. The best bagel in New York City. And that's what he said. It's the best bagel in New York City. It's probably the best bagel in the world.
Well, I've got everything there, their phone number, they can click on it, there, everything,
good.
So people can
well,
know,
if you
know
come
it.
To Park Slope, you can also call on me as a guide. I love to take people around old Brooklyn, not trendy Williamsburg, although I can do that too. And at 71 years of age, I think I'm probably as knowledgeable a Brooklynite as you're ever going to get.
All right.
I have to. Now I'm 71. I can boast.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Oh, right. It's been so long. See, you had something to live for. All right.
I have a lot to live for, but I can boast too.
That's right. Okay.
All right,
okay,
thank you.
Folks, have a great week. We didn't even get to Pesach.
No, we didn't do Easter.
Passover and Good Friday. Yeah. Rare that they're together, but the first Seder is Friday night. And I guess next Monday I'll tell you how our
how
first
went.
Seder with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old.
All right.
Bye. Okay.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can hear Arthur every Monday at this same time. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with 2 beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or a sit-down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.